Thank you. Let's give the Lord a clap, eh? Amen. You know, God is so amazing. A lot of the songs this morning, that worship was wonderful, touched my heart and touched my soul. A lot of the songs that were sung and what has been said this morning is more or less what I'm saying. Even when Phil Pringle got up and he said that, I think I might get a sermon out of that one day, but anyway, he said that, you know, the people went through the gates to worship him, and when they came out, they went through a different gate. You know, it really spoke to me, because that's what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about the fact that, you know, we're going to choose grapes or we're going to choose giants. I will explain as I go along. But, you know, by going back through the same gate, we're going back to disappointment. We can go back to fear. We can go back to all the promises that God gave us last year and they didn't come to pass, because many of us have them, or things didn't happen the way we thought we were going to be, so we can go back through the gate. But I believe that God wants us to choose the grapes. Choose the grapes. To believe that his promises are true. Amen? And you probably saw a lot happen, come to pass last year. We did, but you know, some didn't. But I've come to tell you this morning, prophetically, that God's promises are true. That his promises will never change. No matter how you feel, and because the circumstances have been that way, his promises are true. Amen? And the other thing that really touched me was the song, when it said, give me strength to start again. And you know, people, I know sometimes we need strength, God's strength, to start again, to face another year, 2019, when stuff from 2018 is hanging on us, hasn't been sorted out, someone hasn't been healed, whatever. But you know what? He's given us the strength to start again. Amen? Praise God. How I love that song. You know, I've been so challenged over the last year about believing the promises of God. Really believing what the Word of God says. Amen? We're going to look at Numbers 13 this morning. And this is a chapter encouraging us to increase our faith in God's promises rather than look at the impossible circumstances. Is that good, people? See, spiritual advance, if we're going to advance spiritually, if we're going to reach this nation, people, I tell you, that's going to require faith. Amen? And unbelief will never see past the difficulties. Unbelief will always get you going back through the same gate. See, unbelief sees walled cities and giants rather than the presence and power of God. Unbelief looks at obstacles. Faith looks at God. Who are you looking at this morning? Are you looking at God, or are you looking at the obstacles, or are you looking at the giants? See, Joshua in this story and Caleb were willing to do the unpopular thing and call the people to positive faith. They were calling the people to positive faith. They try and lead the people into the future. How? By confronting a negative report. Many of you today have had negative reports. But you know what? They tried to help the new generation to believe God's promises. And that's what I'm here this morning. Amen? To lead the people to confront the negative report. We are to confront negative reports. Amen? They tried to help the new generation to believe God's promises. And you know, when you got to my age, I got a lot of generations under me, and I got a few left above me. Soon I'll be on the above, above, above. But you know what? I don't want to see one of those generations lost. But the people believed the report about the giants, not the evidence of the grapes. They believed the bad reports. See, I believe God is shaking us up to come back to his word, to come back to his promises. How often we stare at our giant-sized problems. Come on, people. They get bigger and bigger. The more you stare at them, the bigger they get. Am I right? Instead of our God. If we stared at our God as much as we stared at our problems, our God would be bigger in our lives. You know, we look at the giants instead of the grapes. We lose our focus. We become entangled with the problems. We lose sight of what God has called us to do. That's what the enemy wants. He doesn't want you to do what he's called you to do. But everyone in this room has been called by God, been equipped by God, been anointed by God. And those promises, I don't care what your age you are, those promises that God has given to you, they will come to pass. But you just got to keep your focus on him. See, we can spend more time fellowshipping with our problems than with God. Anyone had pity parties? I've had a few. We can spend more time talking about our problems and our situation, but we should be speaking God's word over the situation. We should be bringing hope and life into people's life and speaking faith instead of fear and uncertainty. See, if we are to lead a new generation, and every one of you has got your generation, generations above you, generations behind you, to serve God in faith, then we need to come afresh to God's word and believe God's promises and act upon them. Amen. See, I believe there are just two platforms which to stand on. You can take one or the other this morning. One is unbelief and one is belief. The word of God is either true or not true. Either God will do what he's promised to do, or he won't do what he's promised to do. Either his promises are reliable or unreliable. The question is then, will we believe the word of God to be true or false? If we believe God to be truthful, why do we hesitate to obey and move out in his promises whether we can see our way through it or not? See, genuine faith in God and his word is something more than moving out on the word of promise. You know, we often see so much with our natural eyes, but we are to move out on the promises of God. Amen? And that takes a decisive act of belief against all opposing elements, all mountains of difficulties that make prayers seem impossible to be answered. Maybe you've come through the gate and some prayers haven't been answered. I'm telling you, keep going out that new gate. You keep believing the promises of God. So he's a healer. He's a deliverer. Amen. He saves people. He delivers people. Praise God. Let's look at Numbers 13, 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel." Hear that. "Which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." People, we have to understand, all my life I've heard, you know, the 12 spies. The 12 spies. Have you heard that? This story's about the 12 spies. But I started looking at this properly, and these weren't just 12 spies. These were key leaders. These 12 men were leaders of tribes. They were over millions of people. They were leaders. And that's why their report carried so much weight. And if we're leaders in our home, leaders in our church, wherever we are, we have to understand that our word will carry a lot of weight. And we have to make sure that those words are attached to the promises of God. See, they didn't. These leaders of tribes, these men, amazing men, they didn't heed the promise of God. What does that verse say? "Which I'm giving to the children of Israel." Which I'm giving to the children of Israel. God told them that he was giving the land to them. And they still disobeyed. See, these 10 leaders came under the thinking of the time. And we got a lot of stuff going on the news and all this app and that app and every other app that you can think of. I can't work out half of them. But anyway, I'm telling you, we can come under the thinking of the time and what the majority is saying. But instead of believing the promises of God, we are to believe his promise. We're not to let reason is our enemy, reason to control our emotions and decisions and other people's opinions to sway us away from the truth of God's word. This church has supported the widows with the saris and that, and all those years ago, I think about 9 years ago, that God put it on my heart to give the saris to the widows in India. Now, one thing he said to me straight, "I want you to give the best saris that you can afford." We'd buy them over there, the best saris. Not just cheap saris, but the best saris. And each year I wanted to try and get better. So that's what we're doing. But you know, about halfway through, I was challenged with this. Because I have a friend over there, she's amazing. She's 10 years older than me and she's still travelling, so there's hope for me yet. You know, and she's amazing. I've never met a woman apostle like her in all my life. She'd go into a town, there wouldn't be a church by that night. There'd be 20 people in a service, 20 people saved, 20 people baptised in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I was under her for years travelling through India. But this time, she had a friend who was niggling and saying, you know, she's spending all this money on saris. She could buy food, she could buy food. And I said, God never told me to buy food. He told me to buy saris. And then Marina started on me too, and she started, you know. And I love her and I adore her and I'll always honour her. But she started. And I gave in. I gave in. God had said to me, give the best saris. So I let them order the saris. Can you imagine it? I let them order the saris. I remember the day I walked in the hall, 700 women of all denominations, all, you know, Muslims, everything, all waiting in expectance to be honoured. When I looked up, I saw the bags on the stage. They were horrible bags. They weren't even pretty. They just looked terrible. And my heart started to stink. And I thought, God, what have I done? And you know what? I handed out the saris and I never even looked at them. I tell you what happened. Those women had had them before. They picked them out of the bag and they dropped them on the floor. They were so disappointed. They were so disappointed. And you know, people, I cried and cried and cried. Because God told me to give the best saris. Stop listening to people. That's an amazing woman. She's an apostle. She's incredible. But the truth is, we are to listen to God. Come on. We do a lot more if we just listen to God and believe his promises. Of course, I believe being under leadership. You know me, all that. But I'm just saying, some of you are sitting today and people are saying this, you should do this and should do that. What did God say? What is God telling you to do? What has God got for you in 2019? What has God got for you? Come on, people. We got to start taking what God has got for us. You know, people will always be there, niggling away. Praise God. You know, let's look at Numbers 13, 17 to 20. Oops. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. I just think I'll read my Bible. Sorry. Numbers 13, 17 to 20. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cries they inhabit, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now was the time. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. You know, as soon as God says, be of good courage, I start to tremble, do you? Be of good courage and bring back some of the fruit of the land. You know, God knew about the giants. But he knew about the grapes. He knew that grapes were in seasons. See, the grapes represent the promises of God. That's what they were representing. These grapes were the sign of the promise. The promises. You know, what promises are you hanging on to this morning? What promises are you standing on to this morning? What promises are you believing on this morning? You know, some promises just become faded in our life because we've been listening to too many voices. What promises are right there, but you don't see them because of hurt, because of disappointment, because of gossip, or it's just been too long coming? See, the gigantic shadow of the stuff, this stuff can overshadow any promises of God. So we look at Numbers 13, 21 and 22. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and all those towns. And then they saw the descendants of Anak were there. Now you have to understand these descendants of Anak, they were very large giants. They were huge giants. So big, the leaders started to believe they were grasshoppers. If you read this story, the leaders go in, leaders of tribes, leaders of millions. they go in and they believe that the giants think they are nothing but grasshoppers. I tell you what, people, if you think that's what you are, you will start acting like that. You can be in front of someone. I'll pick out Amber here. So I can be in front of Amber and I can think that Amber's thinking this about me. And that's terrible. She wouldn't, but it's something terrible about me. But she thinks, you know, I'm this and this and this. You know what's happening? I start acting like that. And I start becoming a grasshopper. But the truth is, if you read Rahab, she says, we know you're going to take the land. They knew, the enemy knew they were going to take the land. We know that, you know, our hearts melt when we think of you coming in. They knew, but you know what? These leaders came under the pressure of seeing the giants. And Numbers 13:23 says, then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. 13:24, the place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which of the men cut down. Now, who can I pick on? Rhiann. Can I pick on Rhiann? Yeah. Come on, Rhiann, hurry. Jump. Up here, quick. You know, I'm talking about generations, and to stand up here and see the second and third generation in church this morning, isn't that incredible? Okay, so we've got this big bunch of grapes. You have to understand, this is one bunch, am I right? These grapes are so big. So what happens? They put a pole between, come on, get behind me, pole on each other, okay? We have got this pole with this bunch of grapes. It is so big. Okay, we're weighed. You weighing? Come on. We're weighed down by the bunch of grapes. They are so big. But you have to understand this, people. They carried these grapes for 40 days. Hey, you're behind me. Listen, girl. They carried this bunch for 40 days. And when they got there, they were still as ripe as they started. They carried these grapes. They carried these promises. And all they could see was the giants. Thank you, madam. It's true. Praise God. A promise that God was giving them. Didn't he say? And they said, this land truly flows with milk and honey. How black and white can you get? But sometimes God's speaking to us and we think, we're not capable. Failed before. That didn't work out. But I'm telling you, people, let's keep walking in 2019, believing the promises of God. I believe you're going to see incredible things. I'm believing with all my heart. You know, Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Without wavering. This is where courage comes in. You know, when I was up north last year in an Aboriginal church, a little white boy came up to me. He was about 10 years of age. And he said, Pastor Lynn, I was trying to remember how I knew him. But anyway, he said, last year I came and you prayed for me. He said, I was so upset and crying. And you started breaking fear off me. And you said that God hadn't given me a spirit of fear. He hadn't given that to me. He said, I went away and I held on that promise for nearly 1 year. A 9 or 10 year old boy hung on to the promise of God. And he said, his whole thing was, I sort of didn't know his story really, but I knew his grandmother. But he was actually, his mother was a prostitute and his father was a pimp. And his mother was a prison officer up in Karratha, a lovely woman. And he went away and he prayed and prayed and believed that he would be with his grandparents, that he would be able to stay with them, that he wanted to be with them. And he stood there and he said to me, the promise has come true. I am now in the custody under my grandparents. And that little boy hung on for nearly a year believing that promise that God had not given a spirit of fear. And I was telling that story at a church somewhere, I can't remember. Another little boy came up to me. He was about 12 years of age. And he said, Pastor Lynette, last year when you were here at Bunbury, he said, I was so upset Again, he said, but I was so upset about my schooling. It wasn't working. Nothing was working. I just didn't feel part of it. And you started telling me that I was having trouble at school. And I don't know how you knew that, but I thought God must know it. So I went away and prayed. And 3 weeks later, things turned around. Come on, these little ones are believing promises. Praise God. See, the one who prays the prayer of faith according to the promise, his promises, calls upon God and leaves the result with him. That's the problem. We start trying to work it out. We start sorting it out, don't we, people? Well, I have. I know you must have too. Knowing that according to his word, it will come to pass. Praise God. They returned after spying the land after 40 days and they still had the grapes. They could still be ripe on the plate. Isn't that amazing? The word goes on to say that they came back to the congregation and reported to them and showed them the fruit of the land. Here, look. Look, Andrew, look at all the promises. Look what God's done. Isn't this incredible? They were doing that. They knew it was the promised land. They knew that God's promise was true. They carried the evidence. They had the grapes. They had proof in their hands. But there's always a but, isn't it? Reason so often overtakes faith. In verse 27, it says this, then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. That's what they said. And this is its fruit. I mean, they had all the evidence. Verse 28, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. They were carrying the proof of the promise, people. God had given them grapes, but all they could see were the giants. They were full of unbelief. And unbelief blocks out the promises of God. 10 out of those 12 leaders gave an evil report of unbelief. And you know what? The people believed them because they were leaders. They carried so much weight. And all they wanted to do was go back to Egypt. They didn't believe the promise. Caleb and Joshua did. Isn't this true in life? There's positive people who try to go forward. Negative people who try and contaminate everything good, and their bad attitudes can cause us to go the wrong way. 80% of the people said they were not able to defeat the giants. 20% believed God was greater than the problem. I've come to tell you this morning, God is greater than the problem. Amen? Much greater. Much greater. You, Dave and me, are facing a huge giant in the next 3 weeks. But I tell you what, we are believing the promises of God. How much time do we spend fellowshipping with our problems compared to the time we fellowship with God? See, Caleb and Joshua were people who spent time with God. If you read the Old Testament, Joshua was always hanging around the tent of God's presence. And in verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb's confession, we are well able to overcome. Can you say that this morning? You say it with me. I am well able to overcome. I am well able to overcome. Come on, people. Get that into your spirit. I am well able to overcome. See, faith doesn't deny the reality of difficulty. It declares the power of God in the face of difficulty. They had proof in their hands. Come on, look at those grapes. Rihanna and me couldn't even carry them. Rihanna and I, sorry. And they even said that land is a land of milk and honey that God had promised, but they couldn't see it. All they could see was the giants. Come on, people, what are you seeing this morning? What are you seeing? You know, 12 men sent out to spy on the land to see if they could conquer it. But only Joshua and Caleb believed that God is greater than any obstacle. I want you to grab this place this morning believing that God is greater than any obstacle. Amen? Sadly, this is a sad part for me. Joshua and Caleb were the only two in that generation that went into the promised land. All the rest died. A generation perishes because of unbelief. I don't want to see any generation perish because of unbelief. I don't want anyone to go to hell. And I'm telling you, people, hell is a reality whether you believe it or not. You can wash it away, but hell is a reality. But God is truth. His peace is perfect. You know, His promises for us are amazing. Amen. He never leave you, never forsake you, always be with you. Praise God. He has promised never to leave us. God is on our side. Do you know that? God, the creator of all heaven, is on your side. Who are you going to believe? The devil or him? Because the devil doesn't want any of this generation to go into the promised land. As I said, we're going to let this generation go to hell because we see the giants and we don't reach out to them with God's promises. Are we going to believe God's promises and help bring these generations into the kingdom of God? Because I tell you what, that's where my heart is set, to bring these generations into the kingdom of God. And just God just spoke to me then, you know, about the giants and the grapes. There's some people here actually have got the grapes. They've got the promises of God. Amen? You believe the promises, you got them. But somehow the giants are only one step behind you. It's like you've got the grapes, but the giants are haunting you. The giants sometimes overcome the promises. No, no, I'm going to believe God. And then the giants are coming. That happens. We can believe the promises, but the giants are unforgiveness. The giants are unbelief. Giants are hurt, disappointment, all for much reason. But we can't carry the grapes and be chased by the giants. Can you hear what I'm saying? We've got to let those giants go. Because I believe all of you believe in the promises of God. It's those giants that keep rearing their head up at us that cause us to falter. We need to believe that giants in our lives and others can be slain. Because we always have giants in our lives. Are we going to have the courage to believe the word of God or the word of man? Is the word of God, is the truth of God's word or man's opinions going to direct your path? I see so many people's lives directed by other people's opinions, which I believe in a good opinion. But let's hear what God is saying. You know what? We'll either fear the giants or we'll slay them with our faith. Because I believe we can slay giants with our faith. Again, two platforms people on which to stand, belief or unbelief. God is greater than any giant or any giant-sized problem that we can face. Any giant-sized problem that we can face. I believe that God is speaking to everyone this morning. And just for a second or a moment, I just want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think about a promise that means so much to you. Could be healing, could be many things, but it means so much to you. But you just haven't seen it. But I don't want you to walk out that same gate this morning. But I want you right now to think about that promise that God has given you, that He is the great healer, that He is the great deliverer, that He'll never see His people begging bread for their children. All those promises, over and over, hundreds of them, hundreds, 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 whole book of promises. But He's given you one promise you've been hanging on to, for your family to come to the Lord, for your family to be saved. It goes on and on. Someone's got someone here this morning, I don't know, in jail. I don't know. But God is just saying, hang on to the promises. So get that promise right now. Just hold it right now. I want you to say, in yourself, say, God, I'm going to believe that promise afresh. I'm going to take on that promise afresh. I'm going to take it on afresh, Lord. You take it. Take it right now. Take it right now. Let the giants go. Giants go. Someone who's here waiting for someone to say, I'm sorry. But I can tell you, you probably never get it. That's a giant just trying to hold you back. I want you to let that go right now. In Jesus' name. Oh, Father. Father, I pray for everyone, Father. For your promises are true and amen. They are true and amen. So be it. Father, I thank you in this 2019 that, Father, everyone in this room will walk out another gate. Father, leaving those things behind. Yes, they are part of life, but leaving the fear of them behind. Just fear. Father, the fear of them. Leaving it behind in Jesus' name. and walking into 2019, hanging and trusting on the promises of God. Praise God. You know, I'm picking up. Fear is a huge thing. Fear of future. Just fear, fear, fear. And I believe that God wants to touch people this morning in this area of fear. Could be fear of many different things. If that is you, just lift your hand wherever you are. Just fear. Fear of 2019. Fear, fear, fear. Yes, yes, yes. Many hands in this place. I'd like to pray for you. I'm not quite sure if you want me to hand back first and then to pray. But I'm here to pray and stand with you. But you've got to get hold of the promises. You've got to read the promises. You've got to believe the promises. And I'll stand with you this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you.